Welcome to worship, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here. We're here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there isn't anywhere I'd rather be this morning than with all of you.
Lloyd Ogilvie, former pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church and former chaplain of the United States Senate, writes in his book, Drumbeat of Love, "Then one night in prayer, I felt the Lord very near and powerful. Will you love Lloyd as much as I do?" he asked. "Forgive him. I have." The full force of that experience did not become a realized experience until I learned how to forgive others. Next to the memories of our own failures, the thing that keeps most of us from being free people is our unwillingness to forgive others. C.S. Lewis was right. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely thing until they have something to forgive. But we say, "I'll forgive, but I can't forget." How silly. Stack that up against a God who says, "I will remember their sin no more." Our freedom is dependent on the gift from God of a poor memory of others' failures. And now, once again, hear the good news. If we confess our sins of unforgiveness toward others, our God will forgive us and remember our sin no more. Confess and believe, your sins are forgiven.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we long to see you, touch you, and understand you. Many times it seems like your commands are impossible, and we know we will never reach the expectations you have for us. You gave us a basic prayer which seems so simple, but in it you ask us to do some really hard things. When we say your prayer, we promise that we will forgive ourselves and everyone who has sinned against us. Even now, as we reflect on the words you want us to say, we might realize that there is someone that we need to forgive. It is an even harder task to forgive ourselves. We cry out for your help and support. You are our light. You take away our darkness. You are always there. Lord, you know that we have people in our church family who are ill or burdened. You know who they are, and we ask you for healing. You have answered prayers, and we rejoice with praise that you have removed cancer, made people well, and lifted the shadow of depression. Please help the jobless get the perfect job. And for those who are in jobs that seem oppressive, lift their spirits, comfort them in the workplace, and guide their words, thoughts, and actions. Watch over those people who protect us, our military overseas and at home, our police, our firemen, and all the others who serve in the background to make our lives more secure. We ask strong prayers for Bob Schultz, who is battling cancer. We ask strong prayers for Earl Johns, who is also battling cancer. Be with Joel Greer. Heal his heart and take care of his breathing. Give them peace, comfort, and support. And we ask you also to comfort the family of Vi Hawthorne. And as the ushers come forward to take our offerings, let us pray together as Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello. Today's reading is from Matthew 18:15-22. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bid on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I tell you that if one or of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Thank you.
Well, as the video just indicated, we're on a journey, and this is the Lenten season, and we are on a journey during this season to learn how to forgive and what that's all about. So that's the series for the entire period of Lent that we'll be worshiping together, ending with Holy Week and then Easter. So a number of you have told me that you're giving up certain things for Lent. I heard that someone is giving up chocolate, and somebody else is giving up cartoons. Anybody else want to share anything that they're giving up for Lent? No, nobody's giving up anything for Lent. Well, what are you? Starbucks. Very good. All right. just kidding. The point is obviously not what you're giving up, right? The point is that you, or to give up something, but the point is that you try to get the distractions that keep you away from God. You try to sort of move those over so you can have more of a connection to God in prayer, because a lot of things in this life get in the way, don't they? And at Lent, at this time of preparation, we want to draw as close to God as we possibly can. But the coolest thing I ever heard someone say that they were giving up for Lent one year was a critical spirit. And I thought that was kind of a unique way of approaching Lent. This man said to me, each day of Lent, I am endeavoring to get through the day without criticizing anyone, even in my mind. He said, for me, that is absolutely the hardest thing to give up. I demand excellence from myself and my employees. I criticize as soon as I see them make a mistake. I do the same with my family. Funny how that carries over, isn't it? But I am praying and going step by step. As soon as I start to criticize someone, I replace it with a prayer and give it back to God. And he said, doing this has given me tremendous freedom and is helping me feel more spiritually in tune. It is also helping me in my relationships. Well, I would think so. giving up a critical spirit or something like this might be something you want to think about too. It's sort of a spiritual discipline of giving up something that you're prone to do that you know might separate you from God. As I said last time I talked to you, which is now I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, forgiveness is an absolute essential for the Christian. There's no way around it. Jesus' teachings are full of mandates to forgive, and it is one of the few absolute requirements for the Christian. And the scripture that Max just read so well, you know, if you take 70 times 7, you get to 490. That's not the point. When you get to 490, you got to keep going. Because the intent of what Jesus said was, you forgive an infinite amount of times because your Father in heaven has forgiven you. When we don't forgive, or when we don't endeavor to at least try to work on forgiving, we are sinning. The word sin means in the Hebrew, the Old Testament part of our Bible, to stray from the path. In the Greek, the New Testament part of our Bible, it means to miss the mark. Like an archer, you know, who's doing archery and you're trying to get at the bullseye and it goes off course. You might, when I do archery, I miss the whole thing. I don't even try to get in the middle. But unforgiveness misses the mark, gets us off the path that we're supposed to be on. We get filled up with resentment, and it steals our freedom. The word resentment comes from the word ressentir, which means to feel the same negative emotion over and over again. And this is deadly for our spiritual health. Countless studies have shown that resentment, unforgiveness, is even bad for your physical health, increases your blood pressure, clogs your arteries, is linked to depression and anxiety, increases stress, and makes you stooped and crabby. I added the last part. That's it. We weren't created for resentment. Why? Because we were created to forgive, because we're created by a loving God who forgives us. We're created by a forgiving God. And that's why forgiveness keeps us on the path God wants us to travel. That's why every time you forgive or you work on forgiving, you hit the bullseye as far as God is concerned. It doesn't matter who it is or what they've done. You hit the bullseye and heaven cheers. Heaven cheers. Now, let me just explain a minute these rocks on the altar that you see here, because these rocks are symbols. These rocks represent, at least today, rocks have a lot of meaning, but today and during the Lenten series, they represent the things that we hold on to, right? The resentments and the difficult things that we can't let go. And we know we're supposed to let them go, and sometimes it's just really hard to do. Last time I spoke to you, see that big rock over there that's behind the cross? You have no idea how heavy that is. That's really hard. That's why I didn't move it forward. It is a huge, heavy rock. And that represents sometimes there's certain people, just tragedy happens in their lives. And somebody did something to them, and it's so hard to bear. And when I spoke to you last time, I showed you a video of a woman who forgave the killer who killed her son. And how difficult that was for her, and it took her 12 years to even look that killer in the eye. But through a process of prayer and working on it, she was able to do that in a miraculous way. So those are the big, huge things that happened to us. That's what that big rock represents. And then the middle-sized rocks right here in the center, these are the things that people do to us, and they're not the worst things, you know, that could happen, but they're bad enough, and they sometimes make us have to change our life. Like if somebody lies about you and you lose your job, you know, or if a spouse betrays you, that's really tough to handle. And then if you're teacher, you know, gives you an unfair grade, and they're unwilling to change it or work with you to make it better, and you don't get into a program or the next class that you need to go in. Those kinds of things just really are hard. And again, we're mandated to work on forgiveness. And again, please hear me, this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But what I want to talk about a little longer today are these little guys here, these little tiny things, these little resentment rocks is what I call them. Little resentment rocks aren't much in themselves, right? I mean, if I was carrying this around in my backpack, I wouldn't know I had it in there, right? But just, you know, or put it in my pocket, I wouldn't know. But after they start to build up, you know, they get kind of heavy. I mean, this is heavier, all these little rocks in it, than that middle-sized rock over there. And these little resentment rocks, they tend to be very prevalent in churches and in families because we know each other so well, right? Families, churches, we get to know one another. And then when we get to know one another, we kind of start to take each other for granted. And then the little things that people do begin to annoy us. And they set us on edge, and they can make life miserable if we aren't living in a forgiving posture. And I've been in the ministry for over 30 years, and I've seen these little resentment rocks at work in the church, building a fortress in people's souls, and usually indicated by comments like, you know, he didn't include me in his thank you remarks, so I'm never volunteering again. To, she cut me off in the discussion at the committee meeting, so I know she's really not a Christian. He took my parking place in the church parking lot. He just cut me off. I was going in there, and I'm just not going to speak to him anymore. She never returned my casserole dish. We're never going to ask her to do a casserole. So-and-so never cleans up her messes. We can never get such and such a person to follow through, you know. And after a while, the body of Christ is laboring under the weight of scores of these tiny past offenses from others, some of which the other person who you see as the offender may have no idea about, by the way. What does Jesus say to do about these little resentment stones if someone has hurt you? He says, go talk to them directly. That's what Max read. Don't talk about what a louse they are with somebody else out in the church parking lot. Often in dealing with these little resentment rocks, when you do go to the other person, as I said, they have no idea that they have hurt you or offended you in some way. Or if they do, 9 times out of 10, they will say, I am so sorry. I did not mean to hurt your feelings. I was having a bad day that day. Or I was sick, I just needed to cut you off at the meeting so I could get home. Or it may be that what we are resenting someone for isn't true at all. It may be that we are interpreting the situation in a completely different way from how it was intended. Someone might have had the best of intentions and do something at church, and another individual misconstrues their actions with a different interpretation of what was intended, and all of a sudden, there's resentment. Like the story of the woman who was waiting for a flight at the airport. She bought a bag of cookies to pass the time, because you have to wait a lot of times in airports. As she was engrossed in her book, she noticed a man take a cookie from her bag of cookies that was sitting on the table in between them. This, of course, made her furious. As she took a cookie, he too took a cookie. This went on until only one cookie was left. Now she wondered, what would this cookie thief do? With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie, broke it in half. He offered her one half and ate the other. She snatched the cookie from this rude man and fumed about his audacity. When her flight was called, she indignantly got up and boarded her plane. She didn't even look back at this thieving ingrate. As she sank down on her seat, she reached into her bag to pull out her book. Gasping with surprise, she pulled out her bag of cookies. She She had been eating his bag of cookies all along. The story reminds me of what Jesus said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you fail to notice the plank in your own? If you have trouble forgiving others, if the little resentment rocks are building a fortress in your soul, remember this acronym, R-A-P, RAP. If you want to live in a forgiving posture, go RAP. And this is what these letters stand for. R, remember your own weaknesses. Ask yourself, how many times have I done that same thing in my life? Maybe make a list of five things that you do that irritate somebody else. We all have them. A, assume the best of the other person. Give them the benefit of the doubt, not the worst. Go and talk to them if you need to about an offense in this posture. And then pray to the Helper, who we had a series about, the Holy Spirit, to give you the power to let go of animosity and irritation. And this last one is not just a pious exercise. I'm going to close with a story because prayer is the crux of the matter here. Adam Hamilton is the pastor of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas, and he shares a story about a family in his church who he was pastoring that did something very mean-spirited to him. And it was in the category of those little resentment rocks there, but he tried to do what Matthew 18 said. He went and talked to this family and then brought others with him to talk to them, but it never seemed to be really resolved in his own soul. They never admitted they'd done anything, and it really wasn't worth pursuing further, but the whole incident just bugged him, and the worst thing was they would sit in the front pew on Sunday, and he had to look at them. Every Sunday when he got up there, he had to see this family. And when he would look at them, he would cringe, and he said, Lord, I want to forgive these people. See, that's the first step, to want to forgive them, but I just can't. I just can't. Help me to forgive them. And so he started to pray for them every day for about 6 months. Every time he looked at them, he would pray for them. And he prayed for them to be blessed, not prayed for them to be cursed, all right? That's what I mean. But amazing thing happened, because about 6 months after he started doing this, as the congregation was engaged together in saying the Lord's Prayer, when they got to the place where it said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, said, I was praying along with the people in the church, and I felt something release in my soul. He said it was like a chain breaking. And he said, when I opened my eyes, I felt so free. And when I looked at that family in the front pew, I loved them. I loved them. See, this is the God we worship. That's why we adore this God of amazing forgiveness and grace. The God who forgives and never holds back. The God for whom resentment is unknown. And this God today calls us to this table where we can receive his forgiveness and grace freely. Let's join together in prayer. Blessed God, thank you so much for your gift of amazing forgiveness. We sometimes don't think of ourselves as all that bad, and yet in the light of your holiness, we are nothing. We are dust. And Lord, you forgive and forgive and forgive. And every time we mess up, every time we sin, we know that we can come to you and you will show us mercy and grace. And that's what this table represents for us today. So Lord, I pray that you would set these elements of juice and bread apart from a common to a sacred use as we partake in your amazing forgiveness and generous love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would, in remembrance of me. In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me, because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again. So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. All who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to receive communion with us this morning. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Receive them joyfully. For the forgiveness of your sins, let us drink together. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives us immeasurably more than we can ask or think, be with you, abide with you, lift every burden from your soul, and give you peace and rest. In Jesus' name, amen.